Okay, this is a mimer. It's a mimer for the Alter Rebbe, but it's not from Torah or the 53rd. It's from the Memorium of the Alter Rebbe, a separate set of volumes. And it deals with Sukkot in three parts. Part number one, the shaking of the lulav. Part number two, the various components of the lulav esrog and the das and the ravas. And part number three, the sukkah, as I try to remember to do usually. To let you know that this class in general is dedicated to the Lias and the Shoma of our good friend Bundy. And are there any other dedications or Refuah Shleimus or anything, either at the table or online, please let me know.
We'll mention it.
Everyone should have actually Gemara Chasima Teva, right? It should be whatever is sweet and good in your mind that's aligned with what God wants in his mind should all come together, and we shouldn't have any more tsar, only good. Gemara Chasima Teva. So we're going to, I'm going to pretty much say this rather than jump around too many.
We are right.
So three parts to this mimer of the Alter Rebbe, which I said is not in the Kuditora Torah, or it's in a separate collection called Memoria. You see at the top, Memoria Admar Azotim, collection of volumes of Memoria, and it's in three parts about Sukkos. One, part number one deals with the shaking of the lulav. Part number two deals with the various components, the lulav, the esrog, the adas, and the aravos. Mm-hmm. And part number three deals with the sukkah. And I'm going to, I've bracketed it off in the hopes that we'll actually get to each of the three parts. And that's my goal tonight.
Let's not bite off more than we can chew.
Yeah, okay, we'll try. I'm going to try to say, and we're already, you know, very late, so. Lahavin inyan alulav, to understand what the inyan is of the lulav, uminov, and the various species, the inyan hananuim, and what's the whole deal with shaking it. So we start, going to start a little bit abstract, but it'll come down to earth soon. In the Mavorah by Mishnas Chassidim, it's explained in Mishnas Chassidim. Mishnas Chassidim is a Kabbalistic work that came almost a century after the Arizal, written by Rabbi Emanuel Chai Ricci in Italy. And basically, this sefer explains the kavanas of the Arizal. So he quotes the notion in the Mishnah Chassidim, Mederech HaTzora, in a very short way. And in a very short way, he summarizes in Mishnah Chassidim, Teichen Kavanas Nanuim Deluv, the whole purpose of the intention, the kavanas, the intention that a person should have in shaking the lulav. And here's the expression. The whole intention is Lahamshik Das, to bring down, we'll just translate it literally, knowledge, because that's what it literally means, but we're going to see it's going to mean something else. To bring down Das, Lenukva Dezor, to the feminine aspect of Zeir Anpin. So just briefly, right, we have two aspects to the Midos, the attributes of Hashem, and these are echoed in the ten in our own attributes of Midos, which are Zah and Malchus. Zah is Chesed to Yisod, Chesed Vor Teferes Netzach Yisod. It's the projective power that enters into the receiver, which is the Nukva, which is Malchus. So we're going to draw now. Das, of course, is the bottom of the intellectual plane, Chabad. So we're bringing Das into the Midos. And in particularly into Malthus. So it's a flow, and that's the flow. And where is the flow? Where is that force centered? It's centered in it stands in, oh, I meant this, it's centered in or stands in the chaza, in the chest, by the heart. The chaza. That's what we do. We bring everything to the heart. So let's see how this works. Okay. So at the beginning, meaning now, we're going to explain the shorish inyan of Das. First, we're going to explain each part, Das, Zoh, and Nukva, and what it has to do with the Manuim, with the shakings. So first of all, let's think about Das. We're bringing down Das. Now, what is Das? Mahu, what is Das? Well, Maha inyan hamshachas Das l'nukva. And what does it mean to bring Das down to Malthus? What does that mean? Inclusive, it's written the Akta. Now, it's written in the prophets, in Kings. David, King David, says to Solomon, Akta Shlema, you Shlema, my son, Da es Eloke Avicha, you should know the God of your fathers, V'avdehu, and you should serve him, Belev, with your heart. So the Alter Rebbe says a question. You have to understand the impirushay of das. If the explanation of das, like most of the world holds, is yediyah kipeshuta, is just knowledge. Shall pirushay das shehu loshin yediyah, and that the explanation of das is to know something. If that's the explanation, David should not have commanded him to know. He should have taught him. He should have taught him something that you need to know. David should have taught this knowledge, l'shloimo, tefillah, at the beginning.
Didn't we learn something just like this, that you can't be commanded to?
We learned about love, that you can't be commanded to love.
And we were learning about that.
I remember the
same pasuk was brought up.
Well, I've learned this mimer quite a few times. Maybe we learned it last year or the year before. Possible.
Same for da ma la ma.
Yeah, da. It isn't just know.
It's you know, right?
Yeah.
So what
does that mean? Yeah. Why is it a command to know? If it's something that has to do with intellect, so teach me. Teach me. Okay? Bracket. You go to the bracket. But Sodok Lohavin. Dein Pirish Das Zeh Loshin Yediyah Bilvad. This word das, which means to know, doesn't mean just to know. Elakamei, it means something much deeper, and it's rooted in a pasuk in Bereishis. The first time the word appears in the Torah, and by the way, there's a generality, to know the meaning of the word is to look at the first appearance of it in the Torah. And what does it say? Adam yada es ishtoi. The man knew his wife. She'enu yediyah, this is nothing intellectual. She'enu yediyah ela inyan hakorah. In other words, let's remember just a little bit about Bereishis, as we'll get into when we also remind me that we learned before. We're going to learn again about like Toiva Adam Yes Levad. It's not good for a man to live it completely alone. But initially, this Adam, this structure, Adam, was a composite of male and female. And then that, within the Sira took place, which is called the cutting out, and the female aspect was separated from him. And he looked at it and recognized it as something different from him, yet part of him. So that's called Hakora. So Hakora is a different recognition. Like I see it, I recognize it. That's a different thing than knowing something. Right? Knowledge is cerebral, and recognition is visceral or physical, seeing. So this is what happened when he knew his wife. Hakora b'chinas espilas asechel. He recognized her, and had his mind was moved and attached to her. Next bracket. So down at the bottom. So das, which is the opposite, the fact that that's not just something that you know in your mind, but something that you recognize clearly with your brain and your senses. So the das is opposite shehashkocha. It's the opposite of forgetting. Shehashkocha bodavkim hasicha das. Forgetting is when you don't recognize. You can forget stuff you learn, right? But if you are tied to it, and recognize it viscerally, you're not going to forget it.
So what does it mean that the geula comes behesek hadas?
The geula comes behesek hadas. Well, just let's think about it. Let's talk. If das is something that you recognize, right?
So Hashem has recognized the revelation that comes with Mashiach, no?
Right.
But what does hesek mean?
Hesek means that you've lost the recognition. So in other words, we have a recognition.
But the Rebbe, it's also what the Rebbe meant by like open your eyes. It's like
open your inner eyes, right. So
eyes.
If you don't open your inner eyes,
right,
not your intellectual faculties, ultimately it's going to be the heart. Because that's where we're going here, the Hamshach is to the heart. If your heart becomes a heart of stone, that would fit our mind, that would be Hesek Hadas.
So the Gula doesn't necessarily come from Hadas?
The Gula doesn't come necessarily because of the Das. But another simple meaning is it's when you least expect it.
Right.
Least expect it.
Right, but in context, you've asked me. That's a great question.
Can it come without Hesek Hadas? I don't know why. In other words, we put it this way, that the pain of the coming of Mashiach comes from the fact that we forgot. Mm. Right? We forgot
right.
something that we have.
You know what I mean?
What? No, tell me. What?
That we're like this family who was thrown in a dungeon and next generation.
Right.
We don't feel emotionally that we missed the outside. We don't know what Mashiach's days are. Because we're that first generation that's already been living in the hold, or like this is what it is. And the first generation is like, we have it inside of us to be able to, because that first generation of family knew. And they transmitted and transmitted and transmitted. We have something that's in our.
We have something deep in our body. We can conjure up. But your question is a good question.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because we're spending all this time learning Hasidus, mm-hmm. right? In order to bring it to the fore and recognize.
Right.
So,
to open our eyes.
Right. And isn't that part of it? So, what do you mean it's only going to come in Hesek Hadas? So we understand, but that it can't.
That we understand that we don't.
It's a paradox, like everything.
No, it's you understand. So you shouldn't understand. Like you should.
You don't understand.
You understand exactly.
Right. Except that you don't understand. Except that you don't have the. Well, not that you don't understand.
On a higher level.
Don't accept that you don't understand. Don't accept that you don't have the feeling. You don't have the gut feeling. You don't have the hakora. Okay, but it's interesting because it's a very interesting question you're asking, right? If Mashiach comes when we're in a state of not having that recognition, then why are we doing this, right? Okay. Next page. The next bracket. Umizeh, and from this that we've just said, that we've understood, Hineyesh Herog, there's a teaching, a Herogamur, a complete teaching, that what? Jehespilus Sikulis, that intellectual excitement, that when a person really is aroused in one's mind, not just that you've mastered a subject, or that you know the multiplication tables, but you really had an arousal in your intellect. It's called hispilus sichlius. Yeah? In hispilus sichlius, zois mispashetes bitaminus bilti yesh loy hefsek. If you're really aroused, if your mind is aroused and you have a connection with it, so that flow is continual and never gets interrupted. And that's called hakora. That's called recognition. That's the feeling of looking at something and knowing it, recognizing it, having a relationship with it, an intimate relationship, right? Adam Nuhava, having an intimate relationship with it, which starts with a mind. You have to have your mind focused on it. But it's not analytical, it's not philosophical, it's something that's called hispilus sichus, the arousal, mental arousal. And if you're really aroused in your brain and connected with something, it won't be interrupted at all. V'huah nikra das. And that's called das, v'lei yediyah hamuskel bilvad, and not just intellectual, conceptual level of appreciation alone. So this is all about the first word, to bring das, right? Remember the expression? The purpose of the lulav is lahamshik das, to bring das down, down, down. Nechein haben, he gives an example. Haben sheyedeh likra ovid, a child who knows how to call, a son who knows how to call his father, this person in front of him, father. That's not an intellectual faculty. We all have this experience, thank God. You know, we have families where we see kids and babies, and they have an awareness of the connection to their parents that certainly is not intellectual the way we think of learning philosophy. It's a mindful thing. It's definitely part of the mind, but it's a mind that's, as we're going to see, that's really heartfelt and connected, really essentially felt. And that's why the child knows how to call the father, Shanim Sherachara, and is drawn after him, Mitzad Hespailus Hadas, because of the arousal of Das. And that's what David HaMelech said to Shlomo. Da, it's up to you to cultivate this kind of relationship with God. I can't teach it to you. And I think one of you said on the other side of the table, And you should know it's not foreign to you at all, right? It's part and parcel of your essence to be able to do this. You're built for this. You just have, part of it is to know that you're built for this. And then for it, you can say, okay, fine, let me find myself. Let me find my true self, which is ultimately the elikus, the godliness, which is in the essence of my soul.
Can I ask a question that's potentially not derailing, but outside of it, outside of...
Okay. We'll see if it's derailing.
Well, it's not going to derail, it's just if it's relevant or not. But anyway, so doing the... What are they called? The Nanuim?
The Shekis. The Nanuim,
That's Hamshich, that's Hamshich Das, right? And you're supposed to do it in the Sukkah, right? And that's...
That's the best way. You can do it outside, but yes, you're supposed to do it inside.
Right, and the Sukkah represents Makisim's Bina, right?
Correct.
So then what's the Chachma?
Huh?
So then what's the Chachma? You see Chachma, you have the Bina, and Makisim's Bina and the Sukkah, and the Das. So where's the Chachma? Is it in like the Estro or something?
No, well... That's, I mean, what you're saying. There's a little bit derailing, but Makifin de Bina. Why we do it, and he'll speak about openly about this later. Why we should do it in the Sukkah, right? So this whole process of Hamshachas down like this, which is bringing Das into the heart, is part of Mamala Kolam. This chain of histalshes, bringing something from high down, and the Sukkah is the Makif.
Uh-huh.
So what happens when you do this in the Sukkah, you have, in the language of, because it's Hamshachas HaMakif, the drawings down of the Makif, into the Pinimi. Now, Makifin de Bina, the reason it's called Makifin de Bina is because Bina is called the Supernal Mother, right? And the Mother, as we learned in today's, I don't know if you were there, today's Tanya, the Mother has a direct connection to Keser. Chokhma is an intermediary between Keser and the other spirit, but Bina has a power that connects directly to Atik, to Atik Yom, to the. So Makifim are connected with Bina more than Chokhmah. Chokhmah is more of a channel from Mamale, and Bina is a more direct connect to Makif.
Okay.
So that's the difference between a man and a woman,
right?
Ultimately, right. If you believe it. Men are from Mars, right?
Chokhmah is the channel.
Chokhmah is a channel, and Bina is a connection. And that connection goes, another connection, Bina connects to Makif, the Keser, and another function of Bina, as, think of it as the Supernal Mother, Ema Eloah it's called in Kabbalah, also is that, first of all, Bina Yisera Nitna La'isha, that's the direct connection, right? The woman connection. And Bina Liba Ubo Haled Mevin. This is as a Bina is the heart, and the heart brings to understanding. This is the kind of Das we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So when you know the essence, when you have a feel for the essence,
uh-huh.
You can't analyze it. You have a feel for it. That's the function of Bina. Bina can connect directly to the essence and bring essence into the heart. Chokhmah is Me'ayim Tematzeh. Chokhmah comes from the Ayim. And is the first point which the ayin touches the yesh, and it channels it down, 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 down. So Chokhmah is more connected with Mamali, and Bina is more connected with Soyin. Chokhmah is more connected with Mamali. Seder Histalshus. It's the beginning. It's called Rishis Seder Histalshus. The beginning of the Seder Histalshus. Doreen, right? Hey, welcome. I'm overpowered.
Yep,
you're overpowered. My brother, I mean, this is a complete aside, but my brother.
We have person over there.
At least there's a lot of you.
That's why, like, in the chuppah, they. Yeah.
Well, that's why what?
Like, it's that concept of a chuppah. Why?
That's why the
big.
Why the kallah?
She has time.
That's the whole deal. That's why the kallah surrounds the man.
Because the
kallah is Bina, and she's sober. She connects with Soyin Kalalman, and the man is just. I tell you, here I am, the only guy in the room. Well, the only living boy in the world. What?
Sorry. You mentioned before that Chokhmah is the channel, but usually we talk about Gevurah being the channel. So how does that...
No. Gevura.
No, it's not like a sub being the channel.
No, it's like Gevura is the vessel. It's like the, in order for the...
Gevura is the kelim, right? The holder, right? And Chokhmah is the light. I mean, that's
right.
That's the way of looking at it. But which light? The light of Amalek. The light
that's
filling
all of it. You want to mention also that there is a Gevura that comes in called Chesed also to channel the Chesed out. So that's...
Yeah, well, there's a lot... We're touching a lot of... That idea that the Gevura has to channel, in other words, Gevura has to master the Chokhmah. Gevura has to be the controller, right?
Right.
Where does that controlling faculty, to be able to control something that looks like it's higher than you, is because Gevura is rooted higher than Chokhmah.
Right.
There's always this, like, you know, the end is wedged in the beginning, right? The lower it is, the higher is its source, right? We have many mashalim from this, the one I always think of. You know, when you shake the tree, the stuff on top falls far from the base. So, and this becomes the whole secret of why Hashem wants to dwell in place, dafke, in the lower world. Because the lower world is rooted in the beginning, right? So Gevura has a power over Chokhmah.
Right.
And that's the power to be able to direct it and shape it. But what is the it? The it is the light. Right, Gevur is the vessel, and the light is the Chokhmah, and there's an advantage of the light over darkness. But there's an advantage of the light that comes from darkness. Right. So I don't know. I guess it's all. It is all pointing to the same. So Doreen, we're talking. Yes. Okay.
Could you just finish that? So women are surrounding.
What is the thing?
Yeah,
let her finish the question.
No, women are surrounding men,
and Mashiach
comes, so
that
it's not
in the end. Yeah, you should say, Gaver. The woman will surround, encompass the man.
Oh, is that something about the...
Then that's indicated in the Kippur ceremony.
Right.
I want to hear your question.
Right? There's not going to be enough
men to go around.
I was just trying to...
That's my question.
Does it say that?
I've never heard that. That doesn't mean it doesn't say.
But at the end of the day, there will be two women holding on to the code of one man.
Because there won't be enough men to go around.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And now it's 51% women.
I contributed a lot to the show. I had three boys and one girl. We're outnumbered in this.
I don't know.
Right,
I don't know.
Okay.
Can we come back? Let's come back. Okay, so for Doreen's sake, we're talking here about three aspects of pertaining to all about Sukkos. One, the shaking of the lulav. Two, the four species that are included, including the lulav. And three, the Sukkah. And we're on the first one. And the idea of the shaking the lulav is to bring down a force which we're calling Das. Das, which we're defining here as recognition of the essence of things, bringing that into your heart. And that's the emotion, right? That's what we've said so far, in addition to a lot of other things. Okay. And we're over on page Tufman Gimel. The second bracket on the page. Well, the third, actually.
Yeah.
Ella, we're near the bottom. She mitzvah sadas, the mitzvah of das, which is, this is a mitzvah. Da es elakeavicha is a positive mitzvah in the Torah, to know. And the important thing, Doreen, since you came late, is we're not talking about knowing as a intellectual faculty. We're talking about knowing as a arousal of mind that affects the heart. And that's why the nuan go to the heart. The mitzvah of knowing, he mitzvahs atzi, it's a positive mitzvah, and which goes, you should know today. V'chein atahorei siladas, and there's another expression of it, which is today you have been shown in order to know. Again, I think you said this, the das is connected with seeing, recognizing. You can't forget it, right? You can't forget, as you saw. There's an interesting halacha that a witness cannot be a judge. Ein oid nasidayim, because once you see something, you're locked in. You can't see any other perspectives.
I said that is, from what I learned, is connected to the emotions that you feel from the result.
Right. And once you get it into your heart, it's hard to, you don't let go of it. So we're going to turn the page. Oh, we're going to bottom of the page, right? However, hine techila yesh lohavim. So now that we know what das is, right? Someone's tell me, or tell us, what is das in a nutshell?
So, recognition.
Recognition. Seeing is believing. Someone, a poet, a modern day young poet, said, if seeing is believing, believing is seeing beyond.
Mm.
But you see it. You see the beyond. You see, I get it.
It's kind of like when you meet somebody and you've never met them before, but you just feel like, oh my gosh, it's like I've known you forever.
All right. I think that's a beautiful way of saying what Adam felt when he saw Chava.
Okay, he recognized. Were the only people that existed at that time.
Yeah, but where was she coming from? Who is this? It's like clear that this is
right.
Okay. However, now back to the beginning. We need to understand the pirus ve'inyan ve'chinas nukva v'zor. So. What was the expression? That the lulav was to draw down the force of das to through the midos, as the midos are lodged in malchus, which is the lowest sphere. So, and we bring it to the heart. So what does it mean? We're going to bring das down. The inbikin is nukva de zoh. What does it mean? The feminine aspect of zoh. Could be John. If the door got closed.
Right.
So let's just say clearly what this means in terms of Kabbalistic vocabulary. Nukva d'zor. We said this earlier, but there are seven emotional spheros. Hi, John. The door was locked, right?
Yeah.
All right. So come.
That's the wire. There you go.
Brutal.
So there are seven emotional forces. They're called spheros, or powers. Chesed, Gevura, Teferos, Netzach, Chayid, Yesod, are six. All of those things, from Chesed down to Yesod, are channeled into this Yesod. Yesod is the foundation. We asked about this morning. Is the foundation. And that foundation is what flows into the receiver, which is the last of the spheres, which is Malchus. So that whole structure of flow is called Zoh, is masculine, projective, projecting outward and downward. And the feminine, which is the receiver, well, is called Nukva. So we said that the whole the purpose is to draw down Das into Nukva de Zoh, into the feminine or the container, which is going to be the place, like the womb, which we spoke about this morning in the Tanya, today's Tanya, which gestates and creates a whole new world, right? A whole projective force of energy enters the womb. The womb gestates it, develops it, and then gives birth to a whole new set of worlds, which form the same structure and recapitulates the same structure over and over again. Okay. So let's understand this. We're going to draw down Das into Nukva de Zoh, into the feminine aspect of these seven midos. Yes? I'm looking at you. You okay?
Yeah, sorry.
Try it. Yeah. Okay.
The feminine aspect of the seven.
Yeah, Nukva de Zoh, which is
Malchus.
Nukva de Zoh, right? That was his language. Lahamshit Das. You see it over on the right side, the second line on the right side page, right over here.
What?
Laham shit das, to bring down das. What?
Sorry, you were saying to them after the balasturo, it's like connected within each one?
I'm saying that from chesed to yesod, chesed gvor neferos netzach ad yesod, is a downward projection which culminates in yesod. That's why yesod is the foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a general, that's all, that whole channeling is a projective energy that's going to project into Nukva, which is the feminine, which is Malchus, the last one, okay? And that, what are we bringing down? We're bringing down here this recognition of an essential connection to Hashem, ultimately. We're bringing this down. We're doing a dance here. We do it through a dance, through a set of physical movements. We're emblemizing, is that a word?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's a word. but we're emblematic. We're doing a physical motion which emulates what's going on up in the heavens. That essence of God is being brought down into our heart. The heart is, as he's going to now explain a lot about the heart and the voice, and et cetera, et cetera. So, and the beginning starts, okay, let's understand between this nukvah d'zohar, the feminine aspect, which is Malchus, of the Midos, which is Hesigbor, Deferes, Netzachoy, Desod, and then Malchus. And that feminine aspect is the end of his expression in the Mishnah's Chassidus is Shemedes Bechoza, which stands in the chest of Zer Anpin. Now, usually in the chest of Zer Anpin, think about this, Chesed in right arm, Gevurah, left arm. What's the chest? The heart is Teferis, right? So we're going to draw down, which makes it a little bit more mysterious. We're going to draw down into that. We're going to draw down Nas into the Malchus of Zohar as she stands in the chest. Okay, so let's explain this in language that we can understand.
Okay.
So Yeshalahav, Kiddush Be'inim B'chinis Nukvah D'Zohar. What does it mean, the feminine aspect of Zohar? She'amedes B'chazah, which stands in the chest of Zohar. Then you can see it's written, V'davar Hashem Nasu, that with his word, he created the heaven, V'idu, and it's known, V'hine kol his hadis pirte oilemus, that it's known, that the coming into being of all the specific worlds, V'hamalachim, and the angels, the spiritual beings in those worlds, of the lower worlds, of Bria, Yetzira, and Asiya, it's known that all of that, kulam nimshichu mivichinis dibora elyon, they're all drawn from what's called the supernal speech, metaphorically, right? If we look, and soon we'll read Parshas Bereishis, and everything comes into being through the metaphor of speech. The Mishkos v'Sefer Yetzirah is written in Sefer Yetzirah, v'kabu bapeh. Everything has been established through the mouth. Now, the mouth is also a symbol of nukva. The mouth, the open mouth. And we'll explain why. The Hainu, Yud Maimoris, the 10 utterances, right, and said, let there be light, let there be a firmament, etc. All these 10 utterances in general, Bechlau, Kamash Shekosov, are all in the conveyed in the expression of speaking. V'yemer Elokim, he spoke. He or, let there be light. And all the others. Ukiyadua, as is known in Droshe Razal, in the interpretations of our sages, the Gam HaMalochim, they're also the angels. Nechor the Gavriel, he names two of them, there are many more. Nivra'u mevichinis ha-dibra'ayin, we're all created from speech. That's the idea of mouth-to-mouth, kissing. God's, because again, we spoke about this morning in the Tanya Shir, that without everything has been created, we're going to see, I mean, the exception, the big exception is in the Shema Sisra, the Jewish souls. We're not, they were created by a much deeper, more intimate process. But everything in creation, when it comes to Bereishis, we see, Yedaber Hashem, Hashem spoke, and it was. Everything was created with Yedaber Hashem. Shebiyud Maimoris, V'hainu Mashikosu, Oif Yoif, it says, let there be the birds that flapped, right? Now, these are the physical birds, but they have a spiritual source, which is the angel Mechoil. That's why in the non-Jewish world, in the Christian world, you see all these statues of angels have wings. Because they know enough about Scripture to know that the physical bird down here below with its wings is just a representation in the physical of a phenomenon that's going up above, which is the angels themselves. And so everything that's created on the 6 days of creation has a spiritual counterpart, which resembles it. So the birds have a spiritual counterpart, which is the angels.
How do we know that?
Because the Kabbalah, that's from the Kabbalah. Yeah. And remember, the founder of that religion was quite steeped in all of this.
Does each person have their own counterpart?
The counterpart about, well, here's why I'm hesitating. Not, first of all, not that I know of, I'm simply, but think the neshamas, the, each of our neshamas is a very small piece of a more general neshama, which itself is a small piece of an even more general neshama. So I don't know how you would identify a particular angel, but maybe.
That makes sense to me. It's like the roots of the tree reflect the tree, the branches.
Mm-hmm.
That's
something I know anything about. So now let's look at speech, right? The metaphor of speech. God created by speaking. He spoke and it was. The metaphor of speech down here below, in a person, in a person down here below. In the Anuroyim, we see that the koyach hadibur, the power of speech, shebepeh, which is in the mouth, polyu behevel halev, depends on the breath in the heart, right?
Hevel is breath.
Hevel is breath.
Hevel
Halev. Hevel Halev. The warm air. Where does the warm air come from? The warmth of the air comes from the heart. And it's in the pipe that's connected down here. I'm not talking about the aorta. The aorta is those are blood vessels. But there's a windpipe. And the windpipe goes down into the chest and picks up warmth from the heart. So the whole power of speech depends on, it all depends on the letter He. The letter He is just.
Hevel and Halev have the same word.
Yeah,
letter.
Backwards.
Yeah.
Backwards.
That's a very interesting observation. Huh?
Yeah, Hevel Havolim.
Well, in the Hevel Havolim, where they translated vanities. But the, yes.
Oh, maybe it only means that one is a double lesson.
I don't know about that.
But
it has.
But Hevel means nothing.
It's like nothing.
That's
breath. It. It's hot air.
So in the context, right, that's what it is, hot air. But it's hot air, right? And that's very good.
I'll tell you about that after.
About what? About someone else? Okay. But that's also, it's cute what you just said, the Hevel and Lev are the same letters, yeah.
Well, the breath of the heart? Is that,
the breath comes from the heart, right? So the root of speech is not in the mouth. The root of speech is in the heart. Because you get no speech.
You speak what's on your heart.
That's another thing. But you could speak things that are not on your heart, right?
Or you could speak the opposite of your heart.
And the opposite. So he's just talking about the physical speech is rooted in, if you had no breath, you couldn't speak.
Right.
And what speech is just going to be various articulative shapes of that breath.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are five articulate. I mean, it's very interesting that the letter He is called in Kabbalah Asya Kalila, the light letter. Because it has no real tangibility, the letter He, right? In addition, the He is the number five, and there are five articulative powers of the mouth, and only five.
Right.
Let's see if we can name them. The throat.
Well, in Africa, there's like.
No, it's in the same mouth. You get different sounds, but you only have five ways of bringing forth. Huh? Throat, lips, teeth, tongue, and palate. Good, and the palate. Right.
Right.
If I want to make a click, an African sound, I have to use one of those powers of my mouth. Right. So there's the hay, which is the breath, and the hay gets embodied, whatever another word might be better, in the five articulated powers of the mouth, right? And all of this is also Malchus, because there's an expression, he doesn't use it here, Malchus peh, kodesh shebalka. Malchus is the mouth, right? So Malchus and the womb have the same quality. What? Just like the womb brings forth something that's unformed into something. So the
Just take it and bring that up.
Yeah, right. So the mouth, speech receives from thought. Thought receives from seichel. Seichel receives from koyach hamaskil, the power of seichel, and it goes beyond back. But even if in thought, no one knows your. Well, some people do, but most people don't read thoughts. Thoughts are internal to you, and the bringing forth of internality of thought to external form is called speech. Which is the same analogy as bringing forth from a seminal drop or a zygote, which is really amorphous compared to what's going to be expressed from the womb.
Mm-hmm.
So both of those are malchus. In fact, you'll see some diagrams. Many of the diagrams of the ten spheres have malchus at the bottom. Chesed, the word, mouth is at the bottom. Mouth is also called the foot, because the foot takes you on a trip, right? You can think a lot inside yourself, and the foot. So mouth is always this power of expression, the power of being able to receive and then translate and express.
That's also why you can call it Ikvot to Mashiach, like the birth pains of Mashiach.
Birth pains of Mashiach. Yeah. So here we're looking at the speech. So we're looking at speech. So Malchus.
Amazing.
All right. So Malchus is speech. And everything depends on the breath. The Hevel Halev. So remember that the whole Hamshach is. The Nuim are all brought to the heart, right? Everything is brought to the heart. The Hainu Bechaza, Hale. Where is the source of the breath, which is the source of all speech? It's in the chest of the heart. Kinekev, because he explains, it's something that we all know, there is a pipe, a hole, literally a hole, a pipe. Yesh Bechaza, there's a pipe in the chest from the heart. From which the breath of the heart goes to the mouth. And from there comes speech. Huh?
You're referring to the lungs.
No, the pipe, the windpipe. What's the name of it?
The esophagus
is the food pipe.
The
windpipe.
Right, but it goes to the
lungs. It does go to the lungs. But
right.
The lungs are in the
chest. It's in the chest.
The air is the lungs. And the heat of the air is the heart.
It warms
up the heart, warms up the air. Okay, the blood is warm, and the warmth that the air picks up is from the heart. And together, that air and that warm air, because it is, if you put your hand in front of your chest, it's warm.
Mm-hmm.
Brings forth the substrate of speech. The hamoifus litzah, and the wondrousness of this is. In Inir B'chush, we see in actuality, Shigashaleba Adam Samach, the Tov, when a heart of a person is rejoicing and feels good, person feels good, and Yoz Yispachit Koyach Adibar Yosef, he's more loquacious.
Wow.
He speaks more. He's open, right?
Could that just be nervousness?
No, not nervousness, from happiness. When you're happy,
you're happy,
you're talking to everybody, right?
Yeah.
Have a simple. Let's see if we'll have a simple soon, and we'll see.
Simcha.
And when a person is happy, a person is more open.
Mm.
When see, this is, he said, Hamoifus says it. The wondrous thing to see is you can see this in real life, that when there's more simcha, me joy in the heart, the words and the language and the talking is more. V'surachvus in a wide way. Because the heart is bringing forth the breath, from the pipe in the chest, and that's when the chest or the breath from the chest is flowing more. If the heart is depressed or a person's angry, it closes up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah, If you're an imploder. Okay.
There are people.
No, we'll take the first.
If I'm not an imploder, but if I'm nervous or I'm I feel constrained. My chest is constrained. I feel like I can't breathe.
Right.
Not because I'm keeping it inside, just because something happened or something said to me.
I think the first word would be etzev. If the person is depressed.
Yeah, depressed.
You don't talk.
It also means at the knee, nervous.
It could be. Yeah. So in either case, you're not talking so much, and because of why the heart is nikvat nikavets. It's. See, like in my hand, what's that word?
It's
constricted. Yes, it's miskavets, umiskavim, or miskavim. What is it?
Nikvat
umiskavets. Yeah.
The double
ocean. Okay. Vazai in halev, in hevel halev by kaya, and therefore the breath of the heart, from the heart doesn't break through. benekev in the windpipe of the chazin, in the chest. When the smart koy chadiba and speech is diminished. The enemies pasha kulkach, and it doesn't spread out so much. Ve'im came. So with all this, how they move, and it's understood. And here's the punchline. She'ikar koyach is pasha sadiba. The main power which brings forth speech, nimshach mehevel halev, that comes from the breath of the heart, she'yoshim enekev, which comes from that hole or that pipe, she'bechazer, which is in the chest. But kamoikin, similarly, hine yuvin bedugma umashul amaskil amayla, when we're speaking about a metaphor to someone who understands what we've been speaking about up above, the vichinus malchus d'atzilus. The malchus of Atzilus is the, you know, the last sphere. It's the feminine, the open, the opening, the pipe, which is it's the receiver, right, of Atzilus. Shenikar vichinus dibur elyon, which is called supernal speech. And again, malchus can be the mouth, malchus can be the foot, Malchus can be the womb, but all of this is the idea of taking something from hiddenness and bringing it into revelation, whether it's a baby, or whether it's speech, or whether it's kingship. Malchus is also kingship.
She's hearing 10-10 winds on the phone number close to.
She's what?
41 minutes.
Nah.
She's hearing what?
What?
10-10 winds.
What's she hearing?
What did she say?
What is she hearing?
Oh.
What?
It was 41 minutes.
She's playing radio.
But it's
I'm sorry. Give me a second. Let me just make sure.
That's the right.
The radio station? Yeah. You give us 10 minutes.
She's 10-10 wins on the phone or on the...
Give me a second. I'll go back to the other flyer.
Is she talking about my phone? The phone connection?
Whatever was on the last name.
It's not on the thing?
It should be.
Right
number.
Right. I'm so sorry.
Oh, you have the wrong number on the flyer?
I hope not. I didn't double check, but I'm just trying to shoot over here.
You're
just
going to win. Oh, no.
The big one?
The
one? Your
white.
Yeah.
Way to go.
No, you can continue because I don't know if she's already given up and gone to bed.
Okay. Okay. So the main thing is, and the line begins with inken. It's understood, moving. Sheikar koyach hispach is a deeper, that the main power of speech comes from the hevel halev, or comes from the pipe in the chest. Okay, and we said this before, and yuvin is understood by the example of the mashal. Lamaskil, Lamaila, to one who understands what's going up on above, the Bechinus Malchus of Atzilus, in the supernal world of Atzilus. Shenikur Bechinus Dibur Elyon. Malchus is called speech, the supernal speech. And this is like the five utterances of the mouth, the Yud, the 10 utterances of Hashem. Bechini Nikra Gamkein Bechinus Nukva Dezor. So Malchus is also called Nukva Dezor. The feminine aspect of the Midos, which is the one which receives and gives forth. The feminine aspect of the Midos. Ki Yidu, as is known, the Bechinus Zah, which is the other Midos above Malchus, Bechinus Midos El Yainis de Atzilus, Shemikra Leva El Yam, is called the supernal heart. And that's in the that supernal heart is that's the meat of Teferis primarily is in the chest of Zohar. All right, I'm going to leave this piece, okay, even though it's more just in the interest of time, and just let's summarize what we got so far. That the Mishnas Chassidim says that the whole idea of the shaking of the lulav is, I just want to quote it accurately, to draw down das, to draw down one's sense and recognition of the inner depths of godliness into the heart, which is the center of the chest, and particularly into nukva d'zah, into the feminine aspect of that, which is the which is like the womb, which absorbs what comes down into it, develops it, and brings it forth, and brings forth a sense of what we call recognition, not understanding, but recognition of the presence of godliness in this particular mitzvah. So we're going to move from here to the pieces of now the four different things, right? The lulav, the esrog, the das, and the rabbis. We're moving to. We're going to skip. Okay. Page. Tov mem zayin. Me'ata yesh lahavin shoresh inyan pirtei hadalah mi. All right, now we've understood, we're shaking it in order to bring it into recognition, hakora, not intellect, take it to heart, right? Simple stuff, take it to heart. And what are we taking to heart? These four species. The lulav, the adas, the aravis, and the esrog. Page, Puff, Mem, Zion.
We're literally taking it to heart.
Got it? Lama al yedei dalad mina malolo. Dafti. Why these four particular pieces of vegetable stuff? Right?
Oh, here. Yeah.
Right. Why these particular things? Minin halolo dafti. Nimshe b'chinas hamshogeg. Why these? Or is it these four things which are capable of bringing this sense of recognition of Elokus to our heart? Why? And it says, "Lekatim lachem, you should take for you, right, pri etz hadar, that's the esrog, the kafis tamorin, that's the lulav, the anof etz, which is the adas, anof etz obisuja, the arve nachal, which is the willow, which is the rabbis. You need to do what's known. This is known. Shebichinus hamshachas orein sof. This draw the ability to draw down the infinite light." Is only in a place where there is unity. And this is, of course, the root of Avos Yisrael. Only when people are together. Only in places of unity will you find God. And places of separation is the Sitra Achra,
the
other side.
That's like a machlekes shaloi lishma. There's machlekes in like Hillel and Shammai, right? That's not unity. They don't agree.
No, that is
it. But it's L'shem Shemayim.
Unity is when
that's the point. L'shem Shemayim. Right.
So you can still be peaceful, but
you
not
can disagree.
They're united in their disagreement.
They're united in their quest for truth, the MS and MS, right? And each of these things are very different from each other, right? They're very different. Not singular, not one. Diversity, which is all focused on a singularity.
There's a beautiful, I don't know if you guys remember years ago, there was this guy, Brandon Stanton, who did Humans in New York, and he caught a buffer doing, it was around Sukkot time, and he caught a buffer doing Soyam, and the buffer, you know, he's taking a picture of this little, like, he's probably 14 or 15 year old kid, he's probably like 25 now.
He's more chassidic than
nice little Chabad buffer, you know, he's doing the Soyam at Sukkot, you know, he's trying to help other Jews do mitzvahs, and he gives Brandon a beautiful explanation about how like each piece is very different, but we bring it all together to represent unity or whatever. It's very, very. It pops up every year.
Here we're going to find that it's not just bringing them all together, but each one individually.
Well, that's what he's saying. Each one individual has an individual aspect of it. But he says you can only. He wrote down the quote that he thinks something about like we can only see the blessing if we bring them all together.
Okay, so we bring them all together, but additionally, each one has its own form of expressing unity. So, and unity is important because Hamshachas Ein Sof, there's no drawing down of the Ein Sof except in a place of unity. The Haina B'Makom Sheyesh Achdus, only in a place where there's unity. V'Lei B'Makom Sheyesh Pirud, and or the Ein Sof can't dwell in a place where there's separation. Kibirinat Achdus, when it comes to this thing we call unity. Jehovah's Witness, which is what is unity? Unity is not, as I said, it's not singularity. It's interoperability and interrelationship of diverse parts. For instance, the human body is a great example of that. All different kinds of things, but all interoperating together. That's a healthy human being. When there's separation of the parts, there's no health, right? So it has to be the hiskalalus, inter-inclusion. And then all the separate things, they can dwell in such a way that in that entity where all the diverse parts are interoperating, there is a sense of simple unity. Right? E pluribus unum. Out of many, the nation was created to create out of many one. Otherwise, we should get there. That one should become one. That each singular thing should become part of a greater unity. Abel b'makim apirud, where there's separation, shehu b'kinis is chalkus, which is division, le'yishkan shoma or achdus, the light of the Ein Sof, the light of the infinite, does not, the light of unity does not dwell there. The light of achdus b'shuta, the simple unity. Yalkan, therefore, b'mnezeh, for this reason, hatam nechore b'ayisheni, as he brings us out of Yisrael, because of sinas chinam, the temple was destroyed, because of our opposition to each other. Shehu b'chinas apirud, which is separation. B'ischalkus and division. Shelo yishkan shama b'chinas akus b'shuta, where simple unity didn't dwell. Because the atzmus or Ein Sof, because again, the essence of the or Ein Sof can dwell only in a place of unity. So, v'hine, v'dalad minim alalu yesh b'kol echad b'echad b'chinas yichud b'ischal. Each one of the four. So it isn't just that we're bringing them together. That's kind of obvious, right? We're bringing stuff that looks different from each other together. But each one of them singularly, if we take each one on its own, represents in itself a certain kind of unity. So we'll go with each of the four. The lulav. What's the lulav? Kol olav miskalal umisachadus. All the leaves, you look for a lulav that's tied together, where the leaves are not spraying apart, right? They're all singular leaves. I mean, my grandson was over, and he was looking at little. He thinks of it as a stick,
right?
Because that's what it's supposed to be. But if you let it dry out, you'll see it's displaying all different kinds of leaves. But you want a lulav where all the leaves are together. And they all go up together in one, in the appearance of one singular thing. Im hashidra, with the spine of the lulav. And all the leaves are clinging one to the other, into the and they make one body. And now we look at the Hadas. Hadas shows a different kind of unity. Hadas, olad neshulshulim. Their leaves are in three pairs. A good Hadas, if you look at Hadas.
I have them in the fridge.
You want to
demonstrate? My God, I have
them. You'll see that a good hadas has one singular point from which each three of the leaves spread out. That's what you look for in the hadas.
Oh, wow.
You're going to have to, well, I'm going to let you do it. Well, let's see.
Okay.
I mean, you can pass it around. I mean, take it any look at any group of these leaves. Three of them are coming from a singular point.
Does that make it closer, or that's just
the sixth grade science program? Well, we'll get to it. We'll get to it.
Right?
You see? So it does. Three leaves from one point. Yeah.
Three leaves from one point.
The Gam Nikra Onaf Eitz Avos. So, and it's called in Hebrew, literally a branch of wood, of thick wood. Because the other thing is that the leaves surround
the
stem.
Yeah.
They surround the wood. That's beautiful.
Yeah, they surround this. It's like they're hugging the wood. Yeah, each of the leaves, they surround the stem that it's on. Shehumore hayichud, which shows on unity. She'echud mechate al chaveiro. This is another quality of the Abbas.
Beautiful.
As you see that they come from a singular point and they touch each other.
Yeah.
And they overlap each other.
Like
each one is,
it's like the,
they're
that?
Hugging each other.
No,
this is the S and the Anas. Anas is the Anas. Which is the leaf, and not the leaf. Look
around. It's called the spiral, the...
Well, they're really exciting. It's very exciting.
And they hug each other. They hug each other. Ad shenira kechifui achas. that they look like one surrounding thing. Each one gets on top of the other one. They touch each other. Kidu is his known. Lach and nikra oves, which means what? Thick, I think. There's a thickness to it.
Yeah.
Now, the Ravis Nachal, this is the river willow. In the Nikra Gemara, it's called in the Gemara, and he brings it in Masechta Shabbos, and the key word is that the word for them in the Gemara is this word achyuna, like brothers. Ach, Nach is brothers. You see that? They grow in groups, which is more like a brotherhood, rather than the lulav, which is a singularity of many things that appears to be singular, or the hadas, which is a multiplicity but from a singular point and encompassing each other. These things are separate, but the togetherness is that they're a brotherhood.
Is that what Miriam hid behind?
The reeds. Who were behind the reeds?
They were reeds.
I don't think so.
No,
no. What was it called in the language? I don't remember.
It might be
I don't remember. Well, Pirush Rashi, why are they called Achyuna? Rashi says, Neshe Gadlin Be'achbo. Because they grow in brotherhood. Achyuna. They grow together, and they cling together like a brother. Like beloved friends, in brotherhood. Which is also a form of unity. And then we get to our big deal, the Esrog. Yes, what kind of unity? What is shown? Huh? You want to look at the brother?
But they grow, all the stems grow together. That's what, it's not just...
All the stems
grow together. Yes, it is, yeah,
it's
right.
It's not easy to see.
It's that each one of these grows close to each other. A willow tree.
It's from the willow tree.
River willows. But they're different. You notice these, yours are smooth leaves. They're also willows that have razor leaves, and we tend not to use them. The smooth leaves. So you don't see this in a singular. Ariel, you don't see it in a singular. You see it in that the willow trees grow close to each other. And the Esrog. And that Esrog is called Pri Eitz Hadar. The fruit of the wood or the tree Hadar, which is beautiful. What's beautiful? What's the beauty of the Esrog? Here's a play that I've seen before. Unlike Hevel and Haleg, which was a nice one that we picked up earlier, Hadar, which is beauty, is also the word Hador, which means dwells, like a deer. Hador. So it's Hadar, mipnei shador, because it dwells, the ilana, on the tree, mishana lashana. It doesn't fall off the tree like other fruit does. Because it has a kind of unity and inclusion or inter-inclusion. Because every other kind of fruit doesn't last from one year to another. Because the weather has an effect on most fruits. When it's cold, kor, recham, in the summer, it's warm in the summer. Some of the choyref, shemispal mehem, and the fruit from every other tree is affected by changes in the weather. Liyachol and every other fruit is not able to bear beis hafachim, like extreme cold and extreme hot.
Did you ever see what was that movie called? Ushpizin?
Yeah.
Where they cut open the jug and squeezes it on the
What are we saying about
the heart? No.
What are we saying about
it? It's a fruit that lasts.
It's unified house.
It lasts through all seasons, year to year, and all seasons.
Unifies all seasons.
Nothing changes. It says it Lashana Lashana.
That's right.
I'm not an agriculturalist enough to know, but that's what it is. It hangs from year to year.
I have to use it.
But maybe that's why it's correlated to
tzaddik,
no? To what?
Isn't it correlated to a tzaddik in Estrig?
I don't know. Is it?
Yeah, they say that the Estrig, because it has a smell. No, it's Tyra and it's
smell and taste.
So it's chili, but it's also represents a tzaddik. The tzaddik doesn't change, no matter the season.
Okay, good. Makes sense.
Right.
So the lulav isn't affected by changes in the cold and the warm. But achrikach, when it gets cold and then becomes warm, the alkane, other fruits, we're talking about other fruits, yiskalto, they become damaged, the yirkav, and they rot. Below yiskayim, and they don't stay on the tree. Aval pri ha'esrim, the fruit, which is called the esrim, hinim espoil mishinuim halolu. It's not affected by these changes. Dehainu, shiyochel lispel kol shen ha'itin. It's able to tolerate all changes of time, of coldness and heat, the koran khan, and it's able to last. In another place I actually saw that it actually takes benefit from all of the different temperatures, unlike any other food. He doesn't mention that here, but I've seen it somewhere.
Like it grows through it.
Yeah, it grows through it. It's a positive effect. The cold is a positive effect. The heat is a positive effect. But it isn't. But here is that it stays there. Because it's inherently something which embodies unity. In other words, changes and separateness of some seasons don't affect it. It inherently embodies unity. And therefore it can tolerate many different kinds of things together. So he says, this is like a person. This is an interesting allegory, metaphor. The more a person is a yesh and holds himself or herself to be something on their own, lo yispel, to that extent, you're less tolerant of other people who are not like you. You only tolerate people who have the same nature as you do, not people who are opposite you. But a person whose yeshiousness, whose sense of, is nullified, who's open, right? Not rigidly an entity, but open. He can engage in a relationship with someone who, it's so crazy, it's what's sorely missing in today's culture. No one can listen to each other. If I have this view and you have that view, we can't be friends, right? So the Estrig quality, which is bitl, given just
it's
openness.
It's also like
openness.
This, like, consistency that's just like...
Yeah.
I wouldn't say determination, because it's not something that's like... I don't know, I just don't... The way it sounds to me, it's just like not like an active thing necessarily, it's just... The shana l'shana just sits on the tree. Like, it's just... It's there,
there.
It's present.
It's just there.
What?
It just shows up.
But it's there, and it's a consistent thing that's not like...
Right. And everything that it experiences becomes part of it, because it's not
it's
own.
Right, and that's why it's not, it's because it doesn't, nothing affects it, nothing, there's no external forces.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So it
doesn't care about the season, we love all seasons.
Mm-hmm.
So he says, this is like ke'askufa hanedreses. This is a doormat.
A doormat. Like a doormat.
Merely a mat that people trample on. It doesn't, but in a way, he's not affected by anything.
He's on the floor anyway.
He has no ego. And therefore, anybody...
The floor,
I know the expression. The expression, like, don't walk all over me. That's what comes
right,
to mind.
Okay.
But it's different. Any traffic is okay. And not only is okay, I can learn from it. I can ingest it. I can accept it. It can help me. It's anything and everything becomes, and every experience that I have becomes part and parcel of my growth.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Wow. And able to tolerate and to bear the kol adam from any kind, any person. You cannot, lisbel is a little negative. It means you can tolerate. But it means you can carry, you can bear, you can relate to everybody. Because you're not full of yourself. And that's the Esrig. And that's its beauty. It's an interesting thing, because the Esrog is, you know, the precious thing that we go looking for, right? But its preciousness is its nothingness, is its openness. That's better said. Its preciousness is its openness. And this is what we say, Chazal give us advice for a person to become like this Esrog.
Wow.
A person should always be soft like a reed.
Flexible, right.
There's a famous, well-known story of the Rebbe Rashab when he was in Paris. He was at one of the art museums, and he was standing amongst a crowd that was oohing and aahing a certain painting by some artist. And the Rebbe Rashab had a criticism of it. And I said, why, you don't think it's so great? He said, no, I don't think it's so great. He said, why not? He said, you see that bird standing on that reed? The reed is not bending. The reed is not bending. The reed has to bend.
You notice every detail.
Really.
That's amazing.
Yeah, whatever it is. Rach Kekona. So it's understood from this movement, and we'll go on to the last part briefly. Shasibas hasavlonos. The ability to... What's that? Someone tolerance,
patience.
Good. The kama hafaking, but here it means to be able to bear and take into oneself the kama hafaking, many opposites. Bodafim b'chinas abitul comes specifically from openness. Shalai nirli yesh, that you don't hold yourself to be something, you know, something like an unbending reed, and you don't hold yourself to be a yesh v'dover klal. You're not such an important thing. And from this comes unity.
There's a little change to me, because I feel like usually you need a patience when you have some level of anger.
You need what?
You know, like usually you need patience when you have some level of anger. You know, like I feel like you don't need a patience if you are...
Are you translating sublunacy?
You need patience when you have anger because you're trying to temper your anger.
Right,
and
that's exactly what she's saying.
Exactly. Like, so if you
had,
if you were actually vetoed,
you
didn't even have
the
anger in the first
place.
Correct?
You wouldn't. You're right.
So
are you translating sublunus as patience?
Yeah. No.
No, we're not translating it as patience. We're translating it as the ability to carry and take in everything.
Withstand.
And so the withstand. None of these words are even tolerance. Tolerance implies.
Not suffer like pain.
No
suffering. Suffer the
no suffering.
No
suffering. You're totally open. Sublunus here means totally open. So that anything that comes your way, you can take in and experience
it.
It's a quietude. It's definitely quietude.
Yeah. Like a
quietude.
But also like a reed, that you're okay. The water comes, the wind
Yeah,
comes.
You're okay with
but
it.
But you're not reactive. The wind, the wind, just going with the motion.
Going with the flow.
Going with the flow.
Yeah. Going with the flow. That's,
itself,
that's,
the, wind is
that's the sense of this word in this context, sublimus. Yeah.
Malleable.
Going with the flow.
With
malleable. Yeah.
Bearing.
Bittle,
bearing
open.
Bearing.
Bearing.
The
bearing has an
extra connotation.
Yeah, bearing sounds
but
like
so does sublimus. So does sublimus. By the way, speaking of negative, when we say in
speaking
Alina,
of what?
Negative sublimus.
Yeah.
Says Alina, I shall suffer until I'm old. What does this mean? Or maybe I should be patient.
It means more patience.
But still, the word sebel has...
Is the same word, right? So that's
of sublana.
It's the same word. We're getting into trouble by calling it bearing or tolerating, putting up with. That's not the sense that we need to be taken away from here. We're not putting up with it. Mm-hmm. That's like if I'm putting up with, you know, I'm holding my anger, I'm putting up with you.
Right.
You
know?
No,
that's not
what we're doing. We're open. Yeah. Like a reed, like a bending reed.
So I guess mistranslated in
Mana. Or maybe it's just the context.
What's God save Ani? What's that for?
I need to cease to be Ani, so Ani is both in Mana.
Let's see what it says here.
You want to translate it? Okay. And we'll go on to one more little piece about
sustain.
The sukkah. Huh?
Sustain.
Sustain?
Yeah.
And I will sustain you.
That's full means sustain.
And it
sustain.
Continues.
Same thing, sustain you again and deliver you.
Mm-hmm. All right. We'll go one little more piece. I'm just a little bit into. So we've got the Nanuim, right, to bring the recognition of godliness into our heart. Take it to heart. Okay. And we have, what are we taking to heart? Unity. All different ways, four different ways of looking at unity. Right? Big deal. And where are we doing it? We're doing it in the sukkah. Page Tav Mem Ches.
Oh, moving along.
Okay.
So we're so far we're unifying time, we're unifying season, we're unifying what else? What all the other
emotions?
Yeah. No. Mind and heart.
Mind and heart.
Integrating mind and heart.
That's the drawing in. What's the Aravos is unifying what? The Aravos represents unifying what?
Oh, each one of those don't correspond. The general thing is we're unifying, we're integrating.
Because
we're integrating.
Because the Esther unifies season, because it goes through all seasons.
There's a deeper meaning. The Esther is Tyra and Mitzvah. One of them has a taste that doesn't have a smell. The other one has a smell but not a taste. And the other one doesn't have either. So you're unifying all the different types of
seasons.
Some of the Mitzvahs and some of the Tyra. We still need to understand. Lama dafke b'mitzvahs natilas lulav. Why is it that this
right.
And we have all the mitzvahs. Yeah.
What does it mean to hold it?
Natila, taking. Just taking. Why do we take the lulav? Why we understand that we want to represent something which is a sense of unity and a sense of openness, not full of oneself. And why particularly is this mitzvah the one that does that over other mitzvahs? Because think about it, every mitzvah that you do, you have to mevatel yourself to some extent to give yourself over to make your will his will, right? That's the whole process of connecting through mitzvahs. So what about this particular, that this should be the one that embodies this the most? The Indian is this, as you said, Mishum, the Ikar HaMitzvah Natilas Lulav, the main idea of taking the Lulav, which was Hamshel to draw down Dafka Bechinas Das into the Nukva in the chest, the Zohar, Shehu Inyan Lulav, and Lulav breaks apart to two words, Loi Lev, take him to heart. Him is Loi, take him to heart, Lulav. So, that's one reason, because the word itself expresses that. And we take that umishom lenukva, and we take him to the heart, into nukva dezor. And nukva dezor, the one that represents nukva dezor, malchus, is the estrin, shebesiim halulav, because it's at the bottom of the lulav. Again, the lulav represents the projective energies which flow down into like a kav. It's a beam.
Whoa.
It's a beam that draws down into the lulav. Mm-hmm. So the lulav is the nukva. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? You got okay? Yeah? Okay. Did you see me? What? The Yidu, as is known. Shebechinas Das hu mebechinas kav ha'emtzoi, kav. Das, right? Chokhmah bina das. Das is a middle kav. Right?
Right.
A middle kav. Sha'ol adakesim, and das, and really all the middle kavim, go straight up to the top of the middle, which is the crown, to the crown. Sha'ol adakesim. The fishe das kolo beis fochim, because the crown is the place where there is no separation. Separation emerges as you get lower and lower. So any place that's lower that's an integrator has a little bit of that quality of being a place where separations fold into unity. So that's Das. Das integrates Chochma Ubina. Teferis integrates Chesed and Gevura. And that integrative faculty ultimately is a crown function. So all the middle patterns have that function. Shadas Kol Beis Hafochim. Das includes two opposites. Ojus Chesed and Gevura. Right? It's the source of the branching out of the two. Right?
Mm-hmm.
It's the source of the branching of the two.
So
that means in it,
accept Chokhmah and Bina and give first to Chesed and Gevura.
Yeah, exactly.
What is it? Accept Chokhmah and Bina.
You have the crown, which is everything, branches into Chokhmah Bina.
Well, that's a little bushing.
Das brings together Chokhmah Bina. So now it's an inclusive, all-inclusiveness, from which will branch out Chesed and Gevura.
Mm-hmm.
And Teferis will bring all down the totem pole. So any middle cob is an integrator.
It actually looks like the
Hadassim. Yeah, it does, right. But it's an interesting thing, and I haven't never done the problems. This middle cob is both an integrator of what's above, and it's an interface.
And
right?
It's in the middle.
And it's a source for the division at the lower level.
Could it be more of like a vessel also? Because it's...
It is a vessel.
You know, like it could be...
Well,
going up and coming
yeah,
down.
Yeah, but all of them are vessels, right? All the ten spheres are vessels. But the in the middle ones have this particular characteristic
of fusing
and
integrating,
and then creating separation down below.
Right.
Okay.
Very vital.
Yeah. Shadas is bechinas kavim soy, which is she'ola ad hakesher zot gedfi shadas kolo beis hafokim. It includes two opposites, Chesed and Gevura, the gam kolo beis hafokim dechochmah bina. Right? On the bottom, it's the source of Chesed and Gevura. And on the top, is the integrator of Chokhmah and Bina.
Right.
Shenikra Avoa. Chokhmah and Bina are called father and mother. Okay, therefore, the Hechlech, Sheyesh B'Das, so therefore you have to say that in Das, that level which we call Das, when they were drawing Das into our heart, Mibichinis Ayin Yoser. We call Hasperos. It contains more of the ayin because its integrative force comes from directly from Kesser.
Why does it have ayin more than all the other spheros?
Because it's the first level in spheros. Like Kesser, Das. So it's the first level in spheros which has that quality of absorbing things in a way that there's no distinction. That right and left disappear.
I mean, there are only two.
Two what?
Of those, there's Das, there's just Eris, and it's
okay,
the
Das, the Pharaoh's and Malthus.
It's like, think of like...
Yes.
No, I get it.
Right, that's what I think of. I think of like these molecules that like expand and then contract, and then like, you know, it's like breathing.
Right.
Basically.
Okay. Really?
Breathing in and out. It's going, you know,
of a problem.
It's sucking in.
Right, and then it's bleeding out.
But it's
right.
It has iron more than all the other spheres.
Because it's the first. It's the first that does this
one.
Das.
Wow.
All of them point up to Kesser, because that's the Kesser function, the all-inclusiveness with no differentiation, from which differentiation comes.
It makes sense that it's ayin, because it's the idea of, like, the life force. It's giving, it's like that pulsating life force that, like, goes in and out from ayin to H.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's like...
Yeah.
It's a cow.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to skip.
Energy.
There's a lot here. To the next paragraph. So, having said this will give us enough to get to the next paragraph. From this will be understood, Gantim, Hatam, the reason. So, this is an integrator, right? We're integrating. We're taking ultimately from Kesser, which has no differentiation whatsoever, and from there will be birthed out. Differentiation, Chokhmah Bina. Then so that's the process. Why in the Sukkah? The Hineshodesh Inyan Mitzvah Haskach, because the root of the Mitzvah of the Skach of the Sukkah, U Mitzvah Satila's Lulav, and the Mitzvah of taking the Lulav are Inyan Achas. They're one and the same. We're going to see. Rakshiri Dei HaSukkah, in other words, integration, right? That's the whole deal. Integration, right? Each one of the Dalit meaning showing integration and unity in a certain way. So what's the biggest unity that you can get is the integration of Soiviv and Mamali, the transcendent and the immanent. So through the Sukkah, Nimshech Ha'or B'chinis Or Makif, that's the Skach. The scarf is on top. You're in. It's the only mitzvah, I think, maybe more, that you actually get inside.
A mikvah.
Good.
And
Eretz Yisrael.
It's not the
Rebbe
says it's the
Rebbe. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So it's beautiful. Beautiful. But you're inside it, right? It's all encompassing you, right? That's the what's called the Ora Sodom, the encompassing light, right? And inside there, you do mamala. You bring it down into your heart. So this is the biggest unification that there is, integrating Sodom and mamala together, transcendent and the imminent, as they like to translate.
The Dafka doing love in the Sukkah.
In the Sukkah. So you're drawing down the order between the Makif, Adideh HaLulav, through the Lulav. The Lulav is the instrument that drives Soyved into Mamala. Nimsha Bekinis Or, is what's also Mamala, is called Or Panimi.
Mm-hmm.
Or Makif and Or Panimi. Shehu Bekinis Hadas. And the integration of them into your heart is through the Das, which is also the integrator. The Inyan and the idea is this. The Klaalus Inyan Hamshacha, the whole idea of the drawing down of this Orain Soth, is Rak Lahamshi Bekinis Ayin, Amiti, is to draw down the true Ayin, the true everything, the true Ein Source of Atzmus or Ein Sof, of the essence of God, of the Infinite One. That's the whole purpose. Rak Shebeskach, however, in the Skach of the Sukkah, Nimshik Ozeh Behelam, it's concealed. Another reason why the Sukkah has to be more dark than light, right, to indicate there's a certain darkness. Makif in generally is present everywhere, but nowhere visible. It's not tangible, not touchable. It's undefinable, and all the other unwords that you could possibly use. So that's the idea of Helam. And one of the characteristics or definition of Ora Soyved is that it's concealed. So that's the darkness. So the Sukkah is more dark than light, and you draw down this concealed light, Divitinus Makif, which is the level of transcendent. And Ubalulav, and with the Lulav, you draw that down into revelation. Makif into Mamali. Divitinus Orpanim. Shehua Das, which Das is what does that. Das is Hakora. Das is recognizing, recognizing the unrecognizable in one's heart. Again, not in one's mind, not through one's intellectual faculties, but with the arousal, is the heart is where what? Finish the sentence. This is where it's manifest. Mm. And that's Das. Sheboy Shoichen, he says, Das, because what is Das? Sheboy Shoichen Gili or Ayin Hormiti. Das is the place where there's a revelation of the true light in the heart. In a revealed way, in an or panimi, where the makif becomes panimi. Avo b'schach the sukkah, and the schach itself, shoder or ayin zed, this ayin dwells in its own, the mechanis makif and hell, in a concealed way. The Moshe Kosei B'Zohar, as is written in the Zohar, the haskach nichret salad de mehemenuta. The schach,
the
shadow of Amunah.
What's the
Amunah? Amunah is Amunah, faith.
Oh.
The shadow of faith.
Schach is the shadow of faith?
Yes. Dahainu, what's it mean? Bechinas makifin. It's the shadow of faith. Faith is not something that you can, really... So it's part of the makifin. Where the makif are called shadow, because it's a darkness. Okay. It's a undefinedness. Mm-hmm. Kamisha Kosev, as is written, Hashem Tzilcha. Hashem will be your shadow.
Oh, Al Yad Yiminecha.
Right.
You're saying Hashem will be a shadow, like he's blocking my light.
No, but it's not like he's blocking
shadow
my light.
Shadow is just, like, it's like
he's
concealed, but always following you.
Yeah, he's that's the like, intangible.
Like the shadow is always there.
He's the intangible part of you that really is your essence.
Mm-hmm. But it feels like a shadow. You can be like Peter Pan and say, I won't grow up, I don't want, my shadow.
Because you can't define it. You can't define it, right? I mean, it's an interesting thing to think about, that the only way you get a shadow is if there's some light.
Right. I want to go
you can't get a shadow without light.
Yeah. I once wrote in a poem, stop running away from the shadow that's yours, for the haunting of shadows, there are no cures. Like,
from the haunting of shadows,
there are no cures. Mysterious. Yeah. I just want to make sure I understand correctly. It's definitely your shadow, right? And not like a shadow that is. Is there a difference? You know what I mean? Like, is it a shadow, something else that's on you? That's
okay.
Or is it
no.
Like a
no.
Oh,
good
question.
Wait, say it again.
Is it a shadow from something else?
No.
No.
No. You have a place in you, which is a shadow place, meaning a place that's so deep that you can't express it, but you know that it's there, and that's the quality of transcendency or encompassingness, which is everywhere in reality. But you can't get your fingers on it. But it's so true. Remember that I said before, if seeing is believing, believing is seeing beyond. Seeing what you can't, seeing with your heart, not seeing with your eyes. The wondrousness that's inexplicable.
What is it called?
Or as other places say, the knowledge that there is that part of you which you will never know. Which is the inherent shadow, the inherent...
Without a shadow of doubt.
Keep looking like this, you know?
The word
is
Selim,
huh?
We're made in Selim,
Elokim. It's the same word. The difference between Selim and Demus.
A photograph. The difference is the shadow, right?
In the dark room.
In the dark room.
In the dark room.
The Selim.
I mean, that's actually a pretty nice analogy. Because you can't bring up, in the old days, a photo without darkness.
Well, that's
you must be in a dark room. Right? To bring up the image, right? So you need to be in touch. I mean, I think a way of looking at this, you need to, the hamshaka of das into your heart is the knowledge that there's an essence within each and every one of us, which is not definable, beyond reason, so profound that it's a wonder that it can be implanted in something so small as I, and that it's there. And that brings a sense of wondrousness to things. Not, definitely not something that's not you. It's your core. It's the core that you can't really say anything about.
Mm-hmm.
But it drives everything.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The makif, the surrounding, the transcendent, the shadow that you can't take apart and analyze, drives everything. It's responsible for what they call the being of everything. And then, from there, you cross a borderline, so to speak, and you get into, okay, now that everything is going to take on certain forms. And now that it's taken certain forms, these are the things I can think about, these are the things I can talk about.
I was just thinking how beautiful it is when you're sitting in the pickup, and the schach represents that darkness, like that's concealment,
yes.
Right? And it's like usually at the hardest times in your life when you're feeling that darkness that you just need a hug. And the sukkah is that hug. It really represents that shadow hugging us.
Well, you probably know, I'm sure. It's
two and a half.
The minimum dimensions of a sukkah is like a hug.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you only need three walls.
Uh-huh.
You only need three walls. And the third wall is shorter.
Yes. Yeah.
So it embraces you.
Yes.
Well, and think about that. Think about that. A hug is totally beyond reason. When a person is broken, you wrap around the person, and you don't need to say anything, and you don't have any words to say.
Mm-hmm.
You just hug them, and that's an overwhelming experience. That's the shade.
Yep. So beautiful.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Question. You know how
your questions are never quick.
You have great
questions.
Let me
process
by saying it's a quick question. And then
find
out it's not.
The question will be
I don't know if it's such a good question. You know how it always says, Le'olam this, Le'olam that, Le'olam yehat, Adam yereshonam b'seter, Modena emet, right? Le'olam. Does it have anything to do with Helen in this case, or not?
In which case?
In, like, Le'olam, like,
Yes.
You know, you always say Le'ola forever.
All right. Forever.
That's what
forever,
it means.
Forever means that it has no shape. and shape. So in other words, helam doesn't mean that you can't contact it, but you can't give it any shape.
Helam
it's beyond shape.
That we can't contact it.
Right. It's an interesting, I heard this actually recently. I was listening to, I was driving a car and someone had the two opposite words of taking la'olam va'ed, which la'olam va'ed means forever, right? But why is it in world? Because the foreverness of things is hidden. The foreverness is the undefinable, the untouchable, right? And it's hidden. And where is it hidden? It's hidden in the world.
I don't know.
What do you mean? I don't know. The two opposites, right? La'olam is something discrete. It's a world, right?
How's the world hidden?
Because it conceals godliness. La'olam and lashon hara. What does it hide? It hides, darkens the shade. The soyvev is hidden within. The infinite is hidden. The infinite, which is called, is the sense of la'olam bered. The foreverness, the infiniteness of it, is hidden in the finite, the finitude of it.
And va'ed means like witness? Va'ed? Till forever.
Yeah. That I don't mean.
Okay. I know you want to end the class, so.
I don't want it, but the class is on.
Sorry, next class is after Sukkot.
Yeah, sometime after Sukkot. I'm not sure when.
Oh, right after Sukkot.
Yeah, but I've got a two.